Yeah, if you want to hear baby Chris and baby Carly talking on a podcast for one of the first times, I'm not going to go back and listen to that because I don't really need that kind of insecurity in my life, but it is still on the internet. Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we're here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. Hey guys, this is Chris Roby, and over across from me on this Valentine's Day is Carly Duke.
Hello, hello. My favorite holiday.
Is it really?
No, it's not.
It's met with a huge meh around the Roby house. We feel like it's one of those really made-up holidays, but I know a lot of people think this is a huge deal. So
I think it's cute when you're like in elementary school. Like, my little kids love it because they get the Valentines and they get to wear cute, funny clothes, and like that stuff is fun. But I don't know, as you hit like even maybe even a teenager, it comes with all this pressure. I don't know. It's not near as fun.
No, you're right. My first grader is pretty hyped about it and has been talking about it for weeks. And so, it's a big deal for, I guess, elementary age. But also, I do believe that in teenage land, this is still a subject of, even if it's celebrated ironically, it is still something to be talked about.
I feel like it has to just be celebrated with candy and cheesy stuffed animals and what's something cheap I can buy, or it's met with, I'm not going to get a girlfriend yet because that means I have to do something for Valentine's, so we'll wait after.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I just wonder if it's kind of a filler holiday. I mean, there's not much going on this time of year. It's kind of February is the August of winter. And so there's just not much happening. So let's cram this in. But I do, like I said, I do believe this is something that, if nothing else, is just kind of celebrated for fun. But it also is a great opportunity to bring up the topic of relationships, especially teenage relationships, and what does love look like for an adolescent.
Yeah, I think I know last year me and Tobin talked about Valentine's Day. And then I also think me and you, Chris, have had a conversation about dating for teenagers and like kind of how you can go about that. We talked about dating at school even. But I kind of wanted to tackle this bigger idea of like, is teen love real? Mm-hmm. Like, I think you hear teenagers say, I love you, or that they're in love. And I think as adults, it's easy to be like, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's easy to blow that off.
Yeah. And so I wanted to have a conversation about that because I think it's worth talking about. But I also don't think that it's worth like just dismissing teenagers either. Mm-hmm. You think back to like when you were a teenager, those feelings were real, even if they didn't end up staying long term, maybe.
Yeah. I think a lot about, you know, getting a little bit older and, would I go back to being younger and, you know, and having, you know, a body that doesn't break down as easy and all those kinds of things. But I also think about those years of being a teenager and being so clueless when it came to relationships and so insecure and just what a source of stress that was. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, because when you're that age as an adolescent, you're, you know, coming into your own and figuring yourself out, but also figuring out yourself in the context of relationships and what does a romantic relationship look like? Do I, you know, so from a societal standpoint, am I obligated? how deep does this go, and how truly confusing it can be when you don't really have a lot of frame of reference of what that looks like. When you get in your 20s and 30s, if you're, you know, still in that dating pool, you have more years of experience to lean on. But for teenagers, this is brand new. And be really, really confusing, and so worth the conversation as a helper.
Well, and I think even the conversation of like, is it love or is it lust, can come into play for teenagers because they maybe haven't had either before. Mm-hmm. And it's real easy, I feel like, in the beginning to get those confused of lust obviously is a more physical attraction, but it tends to be more fleeting, where love is typically more of an emotional connection, like deep care for another person. And obviously, teenagers have loved friends or have loved family members. But when you're bringing in this other person, it's real easy sometimes to get caught up in the like, I really like them. This is fun. This is new. I must love them.
Right.
And not kind of see the difference. I did, of course, Chris, you know, I'm coming with some stats.
Mm-hmm.
I won't do too many, but according to a report from the CDC, marriages that occur at the age of 18 or younger have a 10% probability of breaking up after just 1 year. And then that likelihood increases to 29% after 5 years. So like in comparison to a little bit older marriages, like between the ages of 20 to 25, which is still pretty young, 6% of those get a divorce after 1 year and 17% end up like ending their marriage after 5 years. So the probability of ending in a divorce is a little higher if you get married in your teenage years. But that also, I don't know, when I see that set, I'm like, that's not too bad. Mm-mm. I mean,
That seems like that should be higher.
Yeah. And so I think that's interesting. Now, the same report also said that the average steady romantic relationship in high school lasts 6 months for a 16-year-old and about a year for 17 to 18-year-olds. And so you can kind of see that these relationships, they're not necessarily always fleeting, but they're still not lasting like 2, 3, 4, 5 years. But I know lots of people who met when they were in middle school or high school and got married and are still together and have a family, and it can
work. And I think that's how, when stats like this that hit us differently, because I'm kind of the opposite. I don't actually have a lot of friends who met in their high school years who stuck together, or if they did, ended up staying together for the long term. And so I know, like in my experience, when I hear about like a high school relationship, I'm a few years older than you, and so there's some of that at play. Mm-hmm. But it is more rare for me at this point in my life to hear about that. It's almost like, oh, that's really cool. I haven't heard about that, you know, those kind of things in a long time. And so, yeah, I think it all depends on our experience when we see stats like that.
Right. And I feel like we've talked about this in our other episodes too, but teenage love, I think, as I said at the beginning, it's easy to dismiss it. It's easy to say there's no way you love him or her. It's easy to try to get between that and be like, no, no dating in high school. But I think we also have to see it as like, can we turn this into a positive? Like, how can we help teenagers learn through them trying to figure out what love is, mm-hmm. without being judgmental or without them feeling like I can't talk to an adult about this because they're just going to tell me it's not real. Or they're going to tell me, I told you so, when we break up. And so kind of being open to that conversation. So I had a few ideas. The first one is, even if they're in a relationship, like help them focus on what they can do to learn and work on themselves. Hmm. Like even if it doesn't work out, every relationship can teach them something. Every relationship can teach them maybe what they don't want, maybe what they did like about that. But it also can help them of like, hey, did you do something in that relationship that maybe caused it to fall apart, and what could we do better next time? Or hey, what are you like? Did you isolate yourself from your friends? And let's talk about that, and what can we do moving forward?
Yeah, I think it goes upon probably the correct assumption that that relationship, unless it's really, really unique and really, really special, probably isn't going to be the most stable. Mm-hmm. With adolescence, there's going to be some drama that wouldn't exist otherwise in an older relationship. And just a lot of insecurities, honestly. And so be able to focus on what you can control, as an adolescent in the middle of a relationship that might not work out, and it might not be in the big scheme of things important if it does, mm-hmm. to say, okay, how am I going to be better no matter how this works out? Because relationships, you know, are that proving ground of who you are in a lot of ways. And so as an adolescent, to be able to say, what, you know, how can I get better through this, even if it doesn't work out, I think is super, super healthy.
Right. I think it's also important to celebrate healthy connection. Like obviously if you're a parent and you have a teenager in your home, make sure you have boundaries in place to protect them while they're still in your home. But it's okay for them to explore that and be like, hey, this is a healthy relationship for you, or this is something new, and have lots of conversations about that. I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again because it's worth repeating. I just really feel like as a parent, I know I don't have a teenager yet, but when my kids get there, I would rather them date for the first time in my house, mm-hmm. than go off to college or go into the workforce and date for the first time and not have us around to kind of help guide them or ask questions or bounce stuff off of. Mm-hmm. And so I just think there has to be a time to be like, okay, we're going to celebrate this and we're going to talk about this instead of making it feel icky or like they don't want to talk to anyone about it.
Yeah. And I think if that is a goal for you as a parent or a helper, that you address your own issues with dating or your own story before you go into this, because so much of your own baggage can go into this. If you had unhealthy relationships, or if you, you know, if high school dating really was a train wreck for you, is to be able to be mindful of that as you are reflecting upon those things with your teenager, because in the midst of all this, your responsibility still is to be the steady one and to be the one who, can be depended on to be as objective as you can, even though you're probably not. And so just know, just being aware of your own garbage, I think is going to be huge with that, because you know, our last thing is that we want to encourage them to stay balanced in all of this. And so if you're not balanced as a helper, if you're coming in biased, if you're coming in with assumptions that this is just going to crash and burn, then it's going to be hard for them to stay balanced as well. And so encourage them to stay balanced through all of this, that it's easy to dive headlong into what you feel like is, you know, the true love of your life. And just understand that that's the teenage perspective, and they've not experienced anything else. And so, with that, you know, you as an adult knowing that there's healthy boundaries in all relationships, and to stay balanced, to make sure that they keep their friends, that they don't go isolated with this one individual, and to make sure that they do have fun through all of it.
This episode is sponsored by Lubbock Christian University. If you or a teen you know is interested in furthering their education in youth ministry, LCU is the perfect partner for you. When you visit their website in the show notes, you'll find information on a youth ministry degree or other ways that you can partner with LCU through summer camps, internships, events, and more. Contact our friend David Fraze to find out more about LCU and life and ministry to young people at david.fraze@lcu.edu. And don't forget, go Shaps!
For the trend this week, Chris, it is finally time to talk Snapchat again.
How long has it been?
It has been 7 years.
All right.
Since me and Chris have talked about Snapchat on a podcast. So I will link it. We, in the very early days of the Teen Life podcast, it wasn't even called the Teen Life podcast at that time. We did a full episode on Snapchat of like the history behind it and maybe some more details. If you would like a more broad scope of what Snapchat is, that's probably a good place to start. Now, obviously, it was 7 years ago. So
yeah, if you want to hear baby Chris and baby Carly talking on a podcast for one of the first times, I'm not going to go back and listen to that because I don't really need that kind of insecurity in my life, but it is still on the internet.
I know. I almost hesitate to put that link out there because that means people might listen to it. But if you're like, I just still don't understand Snapchat and I need more, that might be a good place to go. But obviously, some things have changed. Not like the overall goal of the app hasn't changed. And so it's still pretty relevant, I think. But that's a good place to start. But today we did want to take some time to talk about it because it is still popular. And Chris even said before we recorded, he was like, I never would have guessed that this would still be around. I mean, it is hanging strong. And the fact that teenagers are still on it all the time is fascinating to me. If you don't know what Snapchat is, welcome to the conversation. Surely you've heard of it by now. Snapchat is a popular app. It lets you take videos and pictures. You can add filters, you can add text, effects, and then you can send them to friends. And the whole design is that it will disappear after you viewed it. So unlike other social media platforms where stuff stays around on your feed, this, think like Instagram stories. So you can post a Snapchat story that will disappear in 24 hours, or you can send it to a friend and you can set a timer. So it could disappear after 30 seconds or a minute. And so once they open it, they have that time to look at it, and then it'll go away.
And this feature of disappearing pictures or media before Snapchat was like when Snapchat came around, this is a big deal. As I remember, there's a lot of research on it because you know Snap wanted to make it seem like it's just going to disappear. It's like it never happened, and it lured people into doing some irresponsible things. And there's a lot of anxiety about it becoming a sexting app, which we'll talk about in a second. This was pretty early on, but now this is a little bit more built into other social media platforms. But this was kind of the first to do that.
Yeah. And so if you are signing up, all you need is a name, an email address, or a phone number and your birth date. You do have to be 13 to sign up, but they don't verify that. So obviously a younger teenager who, or a younger kid who has a phone and wants to put a different birthday in can get around that. So that's just something to know. Now to add friends, you upload your contacts or you can search for people you know. And so that's kind of how people are finding each other. You can send snaps to anyone on your friends list. You can send it to a specific group. So I know lots of people that have like a friend group that they just send snaps to each other all day. Or you can add it, like I said, to a story where it's visible for 24 hours to anyone that you're friends with instead of specific people. Now, I figured, Chris, maybe it would help to do like some Q&A, some like, here maybe some questions that parents might have or adults might have, and then we could talk through them. So the first one is, does it really disappear?
All right. Yeah, that's the big one.
Yeah. In theory, yes. Like I said, you set a time limit, but friends can take screenshots of anything you send. Now, you get notified if someone screenshots your snap on their phone. However, I did look into it, and there are third-party apps that won't trigger a notification. So if there is a teenager who really wants to get around that, they can. And I think that's just where, I know Chris even said this, sometimes it gets the rap of being a sexting app, but that is where it can be dangerous because teenagers might think, well, it's just going to disappear. It doesn't matter. And that's not necessarily true.
Well, just in the digital world, that's not how things work. And even if this workaround didn't happen, there's a lot, you can Google all kinds of just kind of the technical side of how all this works, how nothing really ever disappears. It transfers to 1,000 different places before it technically disappears. And so it's just, if the idea is I can do whatever I want on here and no one will ever see, it's probably, probably misguided.
My next question is, what is SnapMap?
What is SnapMap, Carly? This is going to, from here out, I'm going to be learning from you.
I love it. So SnapMap is surely new since we recorded the original episode, but this displays your location on a map in real time. So if in theory, only your Snapchat friends can see where you are, if your friends have also opted into SnapMap, you can see where they are. You can see where they were when they took snaps. So that
you're saying geographically, this is where
geographically. Okay. Yes. Like this pinpoints your location. Think like find my friends in an app. So you can pull up a map and see where all your friends are, which for friends sounds fun, but I don't know, for teenagers, that just like always makes me nervous if people can find where you are. And you can turn it off. You can put it in ghost mode, which allows you to see the map, but people can't see where you are. So if you're curious, but don't want people to know where you are, I am going to highly, highly recommend if your teenager has Snapchat to talk to them about this and encourage them to at least go into ghost mode. We'll talk about this in a little bit, but there obviously is a chance that someone could be their friend on Snapchat that they don't know in real life. And then they have access to their location at all times. And so it's just something to think about and something that seems really fun, but could also be dangerous. Now, what are snap streaks? Do you know what these are, Chris?
I mean, if it's a streak, I would imagine it was something in consecutive order, but I don't know how often or,
Yeah, so a snap streak represents how many consecutive days friends have snapped each other. So to get it, like if me and Chris wanted a streak, I would have to send one to Chris and he would have to send one back within 24 hours.
Gotcha.
And so that's how the snap streak continues. You can, you get special emojis when you hit certain streaks. You get stats for how long the snap streak has lasted. And it's really fascinating because this competition aspect is what keeps teens coming back. Like, I think this is one of the main reasons that Snapchat is so successful, because teenagers will have this year-long snap streak and they're not going to break it. They're going to continue to get on because now it's competitive. And I've even heard of and like saw when I was doing research that sometimes they will give other people access to their account. Like, for example, if they're going on a trip and won't have internet access for a week, they might give a friend their login so that they can keep their snap streaks alive. And so it's a big enough deal that it becomes.
Yeah, it's a brilliant way of driving engagement in your mm-hmm. in your system is awarding emojis that no one else has. And so
right.
No, it's brilliant. And it's a really great, it's a great way as a parent to know, you know, maybe some of the whys behind why is my teenager on this all the time. A snap streak, there's nothing inherently wrong about that. I mean, it's once a day. I mean, it's, you know, but mm-hmm. it shows you how innovative and creative these companies are of keeping engagement high on a daily basis, user engagement high, because that's what they want.
Now, my final question is, and this is a big one, is Snapchat yeah. safe? So I will say most teens use it to connect with their friends in a goofy, innocent way. Most of your teens probably aren't using this, hopefully mm-hmm. negatively, but there are risky areas that you need to be aware of, that they need to be aware of. We've kind of mentioned some of them, but this myth of disappearing content kind of comes back to, it was originally called the sexting app because pictures and videos would disappear. Many kids send stuff over Snapchat that they wouldn't post in other apps because they mm-hmm. believe it's safer. And they think, I won't get caught. Even if someone looks at it, it's going to go away and they won't have time to do anything about it. And so that can be unsafe and scary because, like I said, there are ways to get around that. And even ways to get around that, that you wouldn't know that someone took a screenshot of that and then could be sending right. it to other people. Now, another one that this kind of comes back to the streaks, like we were talking about, Chris, it's a huge time distraction. So streaks, notifications can draw teens into using the app and make it feel like they have to get on, which can even sometimes I feel like lead to this pressure of like, it's not even mm-hmm. fun anymore. It's just something I have to do every single day because it's what I've always done.
Yeah, we'll get to some of these, you know, these pitfalls of this app. Will lead to some deeper questions just about social media and mm-hmm. digital world in general, which we'll get to in a second. But I think these are really great points.
And then finally, safety and privacy. It's easy to add friends. So you could add someone you don't actually know, or maybe someone you met online but don't know in real life. Depending on your settings, this app can collect a lot of data about you, about your habits, about what you're doing outside the app. They also work with a lot of third parties that share mm-hmm. your data. And so I know this is something that's been talked about, but a lot of times teenagers don't think about that they're the product. We've talked about that on this podcast even, but have conversations with them. And I don't know if I can get into all the questions that, I mean, there are a million questions you can ask your teenager about Snapchat, but if your teen has Snapchat, be asking questions of even things like, hey, do you believe Snapchat's safer because the content disappears? Have you ever taken a screenshot of something, or has someone taken a screenshot of something you've shared? How did mm-hmm. that make you feel? I think it's really interesting to have these conversations, even down to if you felt pressured to send something inappropriate through Snapchat.
We'll list all these questions in the notes as well, some ways that you can engage your teenager on Snapchat.
For the tip, Chris, I do want to stay on Snapchat just a little bit longer because this is something that was sent to me. Kelly Fan actually sent it to me and she saw it on Facebook. And so I'll post the original link if you want to go look at his post. It came from an officer, I believe. But Snapchat has a secret photo vault that kids can use to hide pictures that they might not want adults to see. So these could be sexually explicit. They could be involving drugs, partying, stuff like that. It could just be a really ugly picture of themselves. So it doesn't necessarily have to be all those things, but it is worth having a conversation about, looking into. Like I said, I'll post a link with more details, but like when you get into the Snapchat application, you can get into, like, in the bottom, there's a small icon that looks like two playing cards. If you press that, it'll take you to their memory photos. And that's where you'll see things like snaps, camera rolls, memories, and then there's a tab called My Eyes Only. And so the My Eyes Only, if it pops up with a pin, that means your child has been using it, I mm-hmm. believe. Don't quote me on that because I suppose it could do that for anyone, but that means that they've set up a pin number. And so you'd have to have their pin to get into that. And then once you do that, you'll see the photos that they have been hiding.
Interesting.
So I think we've even talked about this. There are lots of apps that do this. This is not the only one, but you might just talk to your teenager about that or be like, hey, did you know that this was on there? Have you used it? Do you know anyone that uses it? Just kind of asking questions and not pointing the blame yet, but it could be an interesting find if you get on there and see it.
Okay, with that, this podcast is a wrap. If you enjoyed this podcast or the content in it, subscribe to us. Make sure that you know every single week on Tuesdays that a new episode drops year-round. Follow us on social media, all of our great channels with great content, which some of this you heard came straight from our social media content. So follow us there. Text this episode to a friend if this is a helpful episode for you and your teenager in the subject of Snapchat or teenage love. Please be sure to share that with a friend. Review us on your favorite podcast app. Tell us how much you love us and tell the people around you as well. And with that, we will see you next week.